Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Judges chapter 14, verse 5 and verse 6. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. That's my emphasis. And the Spirit of the Lord. The emphasis is not the lion, because lions will always show up. Challenges will always show up. But what you are connected to in the time of your trouble determines whether you will be shifted or not. But the Bible says those that put their trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. There will always be storm, but whether the storm will move you is a function of what you are connected to or what you are holding. And Samson and his father and his mother were on a journey, and then they met this challenge. Nobody prays to meet a challenge. Everyone wants to have a smooth sail through whatever he or she is doing. But unfortunately, the world that we live in is such a world that we cannot do without meeting with challenges. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, he said, in me you are going to have peace, but in this world you are going to have a lot of troubles. But he said to them, be of good comfort, for I have overcome the world. And then he said, as I was in this world, so are ye. In other words, Jesus gave them power to be able to deal with the troubles of this world. If you don't have the power to deal with the troubles of this world, then the troubles of the world will swallow you up. One day in Mark chapter 4, the story tells us how that Jesus constrained his disciples to the boat, and they were to travel to the other end of the city. And in the middle of the sea, there arose a mighty wind. And the Bible said it was so much that the disciples became confused. From their experience as fishermen, they did everything to calm the sea, but the sea wasn't going to calm, and they feared for their lives, because by their experience they knew that if the sea would not come, then something is going to go. But they remembered Jesus was in that same boat. So they went to him and woke him up and said to him, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible said Jesus awoke from sleep and rebuked the sea. And then there was calm. And when there was calm, he said to them, O ye of little faith, don't you know that with me in your boat, you won't go down? Oh, you have little faith. Don't you know that you have capacity in the inside of you to speak to the element of the sea, and they will obey you? But thank God, because the disciples learned the lessons, that after Jesus had departed, they started exercising the power that they had. One day in Acts chapter 3, the Bible said Peter and John had gone to pray during the hour of prayer. I'm not sure that was their first time or their first visit to that temple. But this time around, they became conscious of the capacity that they had in their inside. So when they went to the temple to pray, the Bible said they met a man who was there at the beautiful gate, and he was lame from his feet. This man had never walked before, and by this time he was over 40 years old. 40 years of lameness, 40 years of incapacitation, 40 years of stagnation, 40 years of staying at the same spot, 40 years of not moving further, even though he was moving. And the Bible says when he saw Peter and John coming, he expected something from them, and that's okay. Because if you are in the temple, you should have expectation. But what your expectation is will matter in the end. I'm sure what that man was expecting wasn't what he got. But he actually got what was bigger than his expectation. And I'm trusting the Lord that in this service, someone will get bigger than his expectation. And you know, if God is doing it, he's going to do it bigger. Because no man is educated enough to think like God. No man is educated enough to imagine the things that God can do. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of a man what God will do. So you can't be wise enough to think how God will do what he wants to do. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man knows where it is going, neither where it is coming from. So is every man that is born of the Spirit. John chapter 3 and verse 3. No man can think the thought of God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. So you can imagine the distance between heaven and the earth. You know, it's a large, it's a long distance. And God said, that's how different my pattern of thinking is. So Peter and John looked at the man and said to him, look at us. The scripture said the man looked at them, and of course, wanting to get something from their pocket to him. And then Peter dropped the bombshell, silver and gold we don't have. It's okay not to have silver and gold. But if you don't have silver and gold, you make sure that you have something that silver and gold cannot get. Because in this world, silver and gold will matter. Money will matter. But sometimes you don't have money, but you have something that can produce money. So Peter said, we don't have silver, we don't have gold. After all, for more than 40 years, you've been receiving silver and gold and you've never moved a spot. Every day you sit at this temple and men give you silver and gold, but it has not changed your situation. You are still a beggar. Yesterday you received silver and gold. You are still begging today. And if you receive more silver and gold, tomorrow you will still come here. So silver and gold we are not going to give to you, but such as we have, we give to you. I want to admonish you that after having an education, after having money, after having connection, you should still have what money cannot buy. Because somewhere in the journey of your life, you will get to a place where degree will not suffice. You will get to a place where your name will not open the gate. You will get to a place where it will only be the supernatural. Acts chapter 12, in those days, Herod vexed the church, stretched his hand and arrested James. And killed him. And when he saw that the people were excited at that, he proceeded further to take the spokesperson of the church, the man who represented the image of the church, and that was Peter. You can call him the chairman of the church council in his day. Nero arrested him and put him in prison, waiting for the Passover for him to be executed, so that everybody will hail Herod and said, Herod, you are the best. And so he kept Peter in between four quaternions of soldiers. 16 heavily armed men kept one man. Because they knew that this man, if we don't keep him with all alert, he may just escape. 16 of them, well armed, kept Peter. But the Bible said the church prayed. The church took advantage of what they had. If it was today's church, I'm sure that the first thing that we'll be thinking about will be, who knows the commissioner of police? Let's get across to the commissioner of police and see who knows the local government chairman. Let's get across to him and see what is happening. But the Bible said the church prayed. They took advantage of the supernatural. And when they had prayed in the night that Peter was supposed to be brought out the next morning, God responded to that prayer. And the scripture said, an angel went into the prison in the midst of 16 soldiers. An angel tapped Peter. I like Peter. That even with those men, he was still sleeping. Praise God. A prayer for you is that in the midst of trouble, God will give you sleep. Because sleeplessness will also add to your trouble. can't pay rent and you can't also sleep. It's double wahala now. Amen. No school fees, no sleep. Peter slept with chains in his hands and chains in his leg. And the Bible says an angel tapped him. And as soon as he woke up from that tap, the chains fell. Just a tap and the chains fell. From his hands and from his legs. And the angel said to Peter, put on your clothes. And the Bible said Peter picked his clothes and wore them. To him, it was like a dream. Because it is not real that you can sell through this kind of security network. And then the angel said to Peter, follow me. And Peter followed. They went to the first door. The door opened. Went to the second door. The door opened. The soldiers were still asleep. And then when they got to the iron gate, the iron gate opened on its own accord. And then the angel escorted Peter to his destination. And then Peter knew it was real. The supernatural is real, even though it is invisible to the physical eyes. So when Peter and John said to that lame man, look at us in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Something supernatural took over the natural, and the Bible says his ankle bones received strength. 40 years of lameness disappeared at one command. And for the first time in 40 years, the man leaped, stood, walked, and ran. He did four things at the same time. He stood up, he leaped, he walked, he ran. And people said, this can only be God. This year, may it happen in your life, in your house, in your ministry, in your business. What people will say, this can only be God. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. There is something that is birthed by supernatural interaction. When you have interaction with spirit, it birth forth results that cannot be explained humanly. I told us what the supernatural is. And I mentioned that the supernatural is the realm of God. In other words, the supernatural is where God operates from. And I also mentioned to us that if your walk with God and work for God will be relevant, then the supernatural must be your route. There is no impossibility in the supernatural. There are no limits there. The supernatural is a realm of limitless possibility. When we say supernatural empowerment, what do we mean? It means an enablement that comes from above. An enablement that does not have a human explanation. So when they say you are supernaturally empowered, you have been given an enablement that has nothing to do with this world. From Judges chapter 14, where we read, you know, the Bible says when that lion showed up, the natural thing to do when you see a lion is to run away. But you know, without a weapon in Samson's hand, he wrestled with the lion. He didn't wrestle with the lion by the skills he learned from Taekwondo. No, the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. If the Spirit didn't come, Samson would have run away. But when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, you know God cannot turn his back. So when the Spirit came, he confronted the lion and tore the lion as though he was dealing with a goat. And the Bible said there was nothing in his hand. With God in your life, you don't need everything in your hand to have the kind of result you are looking for. God in your life gives you the tool that is needed in your hand to get the kind of result you are looking for. In Exodus chapter 13 and chapter 14, when Israelites saw the Red Sea, what was in their mind was death. Of course, it was right for them to think so. Death. You know, we can't swim across. Maybe you have not seen the sea before. You go to Boni, you will see a sea. Or maybe you go to Brass. Now, either of those two can't be compared to the Red Sea. When they saw the sea, they concluded that they were all dead men. You know, when a man wants to die, he looks for who to blame. And so they turned to Moses and said, "Didn't we tell you that you should leave us in Egypt? We would have been better off there. At least we know we will die someday and we will have graves. And that will be fine for us. It will be written on our grave, slave A died and he was buried here. But Moses, you have brought us to this sea. We are going to die here all the same. But the difference is that we are not going to have tombs. No man will ever refer to us again." And so they became afraid. Raised their voices and began crying. The Bible says when they cried, Moses went to God and said, "God, what do I do?" And God said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? There is something inside of you that can deal with what is confronting you." And so God said to Moses, "What do you have in your hand?" "Stretch forth your rod." To the amazement of all the doubters, when the rod was stretched forth, the sea parted. And the Bible says it congealed by the left hand side and by the right hand side and became like a wall for them. And so you saw 3 million persons walking through the sea. Gently, gently, gently walking through. They had children, they had women. I'm sure they had women who were pregnant. So the walk was not a fast walk. It was a slow and a sluggish walk. And the river stood by their left and their right as a protective wall for them. So that now tells me that it is not your faith that keeps you safe. It is God that keeps you safe. Amen. Because even God can erect a wall, invisible wall, for your protection. And they walked through. And when they walked through, Egyptians also said, "Let's go through this same road." And they entered the road and started driving on their chariots. And God said to Moses, "Stretch the rod again." And when he stretched the rod, the sea came back together and buried all the Egyptians. And then the word of God came to pass. The Egyptians that you see today, you shall again see them no more. God has all it takes to handle what is challenging you. Lack of power makes you cry. Lack of power makes you panic. You know what you are able to do, you are not afraid when such a thing comes. If, for instance, you have your rent ready, you are not afraid when the landlord will come through of us. The money is in the bank. So, if the landlord comes and says, "I need my rent tomorrow," you say, "No problem." But when you have no power, you will panic. Supernatural empowerment is a support that is not sourced from the earth, a support that is not sourced from the natural. There are many support systems in this world. I mean, you could walk up to a man that you have a relationship with and solicit his or her support, and the person will be willing to give you support. It could be financial, it could be moral, it could be professional support. There are many support systems in the world. But supernatural empowerment is a support that is not sourced from the natural. It comes from heaven. "I look up to the hills, from whence cometh my help?" My help comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. I also told us that supernatural empowerment is a capacity that is not natural. I mean, the ability to know the things that your age mates don't know. Things that you shouldn't know by your level of education, by your age. capacity that is not natural. That's what God wants to give. And that's what God is going to give. Joseph was not as educated as the Egyptians. I'm too sure. Because the Bible records that at age 17 he was sold. From where he was sold, they were predominantly cattle rearers. So I'm not sure that Joseph went to a formal school. In fact, in his father's house, he had a dream that he couldn't interpret. And so he landed Potiphar's house at 17. He became the slave and grew up to become the chief slave in Potiphar's house. And then within that same frame of time, he was sent to prison. He stayed in prison for more than 2 years. And then at 30, he got out of prison and gave interpretation, sound, correct interpretation to a dream that was very mystical. You needed to hear the dream of Pharaoh, and you will know that you couldn't interpret that dream by education. He said, in my dream, I saw 4 healthy cows or 7 healthy cows. And then I also saw 7 very sickly cows. And suddenly the sickly cows ate up the healthy cows. What is the interpretation? There is no education that can teach you that. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, God will give Pharaoh an interpretation of peace. The supernatural was activated. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, in 7 years there will be plenty. In another 7 years there will be famine. Now it sounds very simple by that interpretation, but you will never have known that that was the meaning. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, what do you think we are going to do? For a young boy who is not educated, he said to Pharaoh, what I think is that somebody that is educated, schooled, trained to keep things, should be appointed to be in charge. And Joseph is back on his way to the prison, and Pharaoh said, there's nobody as wise as you, so we choose you. From that moment, Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. And the Bible says Egypt entered into plenty and they never lacked. The man who was at the helm of affairs was not educated. He didn't study economics. He didn't study accounting. He didn't study insurance. He studied divinity. And he had capacity to handle that. I'm praying for someone under the sound of my voice. This year, may God give you capacity beyond your education. Capacity beyond your age. Capacity. David could not have killed Goliath because he was too young for that fight. Too inexperienced for that fight. He couldn't have killed Goliath. But you know what? The Bible says David went to fight and he had only a sling in his hand. What we will call catapult. You don't fight war with slings. No matter how skillful you are, you don't kill an enemy with a stone. Now, tell me the size of the stone that will enter a sling. Now you know that the stone must be small enough so that you can be able to draw it and pull it out. But the Bible said David picked 5 of them, smooth stones. Sure that when he picked those stones, he started praying. The God that killed the lion for me and the God that killed the bear for me, use this stone and kill this Goliath. And so when he put the first stone and released it, there was a supernatural ambient around that stone. Straight on target. Straight to the man. And the Bible says, the Philistine came down and his head was removed. There is a capacity that is not natural. If all you have is natural capacity, you will fail somewhere. I can tell you that. If all you have is natural capacity, you will fail somewhere. when Esther was told the problem that was lying ahead of the Jews in Shushan, she knew that something must be done. And that thing that must be done must be natural. So she said, I'm going to pray. She took up 3 days of fasting and prayer. And after that, she wore a royal apparel. It is not the royal apparel that gained that favor for her. It is the supernatural. She wore a royal apparel on top of fasting and prayer. On top of the power of God, she wore the royal apparel. So when you see Esther, you are not just seeing a beautiful cloth, but you are seeing a woman that carries a power that cannot be turned down. She wore a royal apparel on top of the power of God and entered the presence of her husband without invitation. And the man said, Esther, to the half of my kingdom, if you make a request, it will be granted you. Supernatural empowerment will put you ahead of natural obstacles. Supernatural empowerment will put you ahead of natural limitations. Natural endowments are good, but supernatural empowerment is better and is superior. Natural endowments are good. It's good to be naturally endowed. I mean, you can do certain things on your own. They say, this guy is very skillful. This lady is just skillful. That's okay. But supernatural empowerment is superior to natural endowment. When a man comes with supernatural empowerment, he will always be better than the man who comes with natural endowment. If you read the book of Daniel chapter 1, the Bible says that men were selected out of those who were brought in as captives from Jerusalem. They were going to serve the king directly. And so the king gave a strict instruction. Look out for men who are fine. Look out for men who are capable and able. Look out for men who are tall. Look out for men who appear very okay. And thank God for natural endowment. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had the height required. They had the size. They had the shape. They had the looks. Everything you will look for physically, they had them. So when they were selecting people, they selected these four. Added to every other Babylonian person they selected, they were to keep them, feed them, teach them the etiquette of the palace. Teach them how to relate with kings and with princes. Teach them how to relate with people of other nations. And why they are being thought, they will be fed with the best meal. In fact, the same quality of meal the king will eat is the same they were going to eat. And the Bible says that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, knowing the kind of food and understanding the spirit behind the meal, they opted not to eat that food because they thought their spirit man would be contaminated. Friends, it is possible to be in Babylon and you are not a Babylonian. And they said, we are not going to eat this food. And the man who was in charge said to them, you want my job to be taken from me? Because at the end of this exercise, the king himself will come to check everyone out. And if you are not looking fine, the king will blame it on me. And Daniel said to them, please give us 10 days. Feed us only with vegetable. After 10 days, if we don't look good, we will eat your food. And in 10 days, those men ate vegetable plus the power of God. And the Bible says after 10 days, when they came out, they were 10 times better. I pray again for someone here that with supernatural empowerment, you will stand far ahead of those who have natural endowment. You will meet those who are taller than you. So if it is about height, you meet somebody who is taller. If it is about lingo, you meet somebody who speaks better. If it's about connection, you meet somebody who has connection from the womb. But my prayer for you is that everywhere you go, you will have your height plus the power of God. You know, when you have your height plus the height of God, no one can be taller than you. Yeah. They say you are 5 feet and then God stands on top of your head. You can imagine how tall you are. So when they are looking for the tallest, it is you they will choose. Those men, the Bible said, they became 10 times better. Not just in their physical looks, they become 10 times better in everything, in every matter of the king.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Room Omasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.